your Bibles to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 11. Your Schofield Bible, page 469. We'll be reading verse 10 together, and then we'll read verses 15 through 19 responsively. 1 Chronicles, chapter 11. In your Schofield Bible, page 469. And let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Read with me, please, the 10th verse. Ready? These also are the chief of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom, and with all Israel, to make him king, according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. Now, beginning with verse 15, we'll read responsively through verse 19. Now, three of the 30 captains went down to the rock to David into the cave of Adullam, and the host of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in the hold, and the Philistines' garrison was then at Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, that is at the gate." And the three brake through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David, but David would not drink of it, but poured it out to the Lord. And let's read the 19th together. And said, "My God forbid it me that I should do this thing. Shall I drink the blood of these men that have put their lives in jeopardy? For with the jeopardy of their lives they brought it. Therefore he would not drink it." These things did these three mightiest. And let's pray.
Text this morning, I'll read it to you. You don't need to turn to it, but I'll just read you my text. Simply makes this statement, "These things did these three mightiest." The three mightiest. I want to talk this morning on the mightiest. Not the mighty, the mightiest. And I want you to listen carefully as I bring the message. Father, I'm going to use this mic this morning. People often seek to know what the secret is to my little ministry. I do not know what the secret is, but I'd like to share a few of the things that I think are the secret. And the truth is, secrets to success are not secrets at all. They're available to everybody and plain to everybody, but they're hidden from us because we've not sought them. This morning I want to talk to you about what I think is one of the most important ingredients to success. There are three groups of people here this morning, Christians. One, the disobedient. Two, the mighty. Three, the mightiest. I'm dividing the entire group this morning into those three segments. Follow carefully. There were 1,600,000 troops in David's militia at the time of his death. As he dies, of this 1,600,000 troops, David picks out 37 of these men, soldiers, and calls them his mighty men. From this 37, he picks out a few who were mightier than the 37. In other words, it was the mightier of the mighty. Of the 1,600,000, there were 37 who were worthy of special recognition because they were mighty. Of the 37, there were a few who were worthy of extra special recognition because they were mightier. Let me tell you some of the things they did. One of them took a spear in battle and slew 300 men. Let me tell you what another one did. One of them slew two lion-like men, and then actually in a snowstorm killed a lion. Then he saw an Egyptian who had a spear, and this man, mighty man I'm talking about, only had a staff. He comes with simply a shepherd's rod against the Egyptian that has a spear. Somewhere or other, he takes the spear away from the Egyptian and slays the Egyptian with that spear. Another one of these men who were signaled out for special recognition as being the mighty of the mightier, mightier of the mighty, another one slew 800 of the enemy at one time. Another one of them, are you listening to me? Another one of them worked so hard at battle, he took his sword, and the Bible says that his hand clave to the sword. Listen to me. Now look at me. Read the Bible later. I'm preaching to you right now. His hand clave to the sword. He couldn't get his hand unloosed from the sword. Now follow me carefully. A million. Listen to me. Look at me. Read the Bible after a while. I'm preaching. I want you to read the Bible. I didn't prepare this sermon so you can sit there and read. I want you to hear what I got to say. The 1,600,000 of the troops, of the 1,600,000, 37 were mighty. Of the 37, a few were mightier. But now my text this morning says that these things did the three mightiest. So from the 1,600,000 came the 37 mighty men. Of the 37 mighty men came a few mightier men. Of the few mightier men comes three men who were the mightiest. Now, I don't know about you. I've never been satisfied with being just the average. I never have. I'm a poor loser, I think. I've never lost. But I can't. The thought of losing. I don't like to play table games, for example, because somebody's got to lose. Now, if I played against my enemies, that'd be fine. But I play against my friends. And I don't want my friends to lose. And I dead sure don't want to lose. Well, you say, Brother Howells, if you and Miss Howells play a table game, do you want her to lose? No. You want to lose yourself? No. Who wins? I do. Because I want me to lose less than I want her to lose. But I don't understand people that are satisfied with just being the average. I understand that. I understand you students that are satisfied with a C when you can make a B. Or a B when you can make an A. I don't understand you people that are satisfied with just being the normal, routine, run-of-the-mill, average, mundane kind of people. I want to get above the normal and above the average, and I'm not satisfied with just being in the Army. Close the door back there. I'm not satisfied with just being in the Army. I'm not satisfied with just being one of the 37 mighty men. I'm not satisfied with just being one of the few mightier men. Bless God, I want to be one of the mightiest. And so, this morning, I'm going to tell you what these men did. Now, wait a minute. The mightier men, not the mightiest, the mightier men. One guy slew 800 people, and one slew 300, and one fought so hard his hand clave to the sword. Good night. I wonder what these mightiest men did. I wonder what they did. Listen carefully. An old story. I preach from it often, but a little loose slant this morning. One day, King David was standing overlooking the city of Bethlehem. In the valley of Rephaim, there was the army of the Philistines. But on the other side of the Philistine army, there was the well of Bethlehem where David used to drink when he was a boy. And David looked down at that well and began to reminisce and became nostalgic and sort of talked out loud. And David said, I'd like just one more time someday to take a drink of water out of that well. I remember when I was a boy how I used to drink water. And I can too. I can recall how we used to go down the creek and like that. You say, out of the creek? Yeah, out of the creek. Was it clean? I'm still alive. And some of you folks that purify your water, you're sicker than I am. And then we used to get a little faucet. We used to have faucets out in front of the house, beside the house. And we'd get the faucet and turn it on and you like that. And David said, I remember when I used to, it was over here, wasn't it? And I remember when I used to get a drink out of that well. Boy, I'd like to have it. And these three men overheard David talking out loud, saying, I'd like to have a drink of water. And one of them said to the other two, did you hear what he said? And they said, what did he say? He said he'd like to have a drink of water out of the well at Bethlehem.
Now, that has nothing to do with the war. Whether David gets a drink of water out of that well of Bethlehem has nothing to do with the war, has nothing to do with victory. It's simply David's got a little old silly desire to have a drink of water out of the well of Bethlehem. Now, there's water up here where the army is. There's plenty of water on top of the mountain. And he says, I'd just someday like to have a drink of water. And those three men, wait a minute, didn't say they killed anybody, didn't say they're the mightiest men because they slew 800. The Bible said these men decided to go down and get David a drink of water out of that well. Had nothing to do with a battle, nothing to do with victory, nothing to do except their commanding king wanted something and they wanted him to have it. And so they fought their way through, or ran their way through the Philistine army, went down to the well of Bethlehem and got David a drink of water and brought it back to him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, don't miss this. Listen to me carefully. Don't miss it. This deed made these men the mightiest. The mightiest. Is that all they did? Yeah, that's all they did. Let me explain what I mean now. They watched the king carefully. They obeyed every command. But that isn't all. They watched and listened more carefully to find his slightest desire. And then when they found his slightest desire, immediately they went and got it for him. Now, these are men who obeyed every command, but went beyond the commands. These are men that did everything they were supposed to do, but went beyond that which they were supposed to do. These are men that loved the king so much they would do what he said do, but they loved the king more than the others did. They sought to do what he would even wish he could have. Now, all these mighty men obeyed his commands, but these mightiest men sought to grant his desires. Let me illustrate. For 22 years, I traveled with the man that I've been closest to of any man of my life, Dr. John R. Rice. Dr. Rice and I sat 2,200 times on the same platform and shared the pulpit together. I've traveled hundreds of thousands of miles with him. I preached with him in Jamaica. I preached with him in Japan. I preached with him in practically every state, probably 49 states of the 50 in America. I preached with him 2,200 times. I watched him carefully. I watched him as he sat at the table. If his coffee cup was about half empty, I ran and got him some more coffee. If his iced tea glass was half empty, I got him some more iced tea. Or if there's not enough ice in it, I went to get some more ice. If I saw him sitting like that, and I'd see a little hole in his shoe, I'd take him down to buy him a new pair of shoes. If I saw the slightest wear on his overcoat, I'd take him down and buy him an overcoat. Now, Dr. Rice loved me because I was a fellow worker. But I spent my life not only preaching with John Rice, but watching carefully to see his every need. I have some folks that work for me like that. In fact, a lot of the folks here that work for me are like that. That's why that Grange Hall building is out there right now. Because some of the folks that work for me here, most of them, they not only do what I tell them to do, but they watch to see what I may want. I recall one day I got up here, and just in passing, I used to like Wendy's Frosty, but I've drunk 2 or 3 million of them, and I'm sick of them now. But I made a mistake in a sermon, and I said, have you ever eaten a Wendy's? Did you eat them or drink them? I've forgotten. Have you ever eaten or drunk a Wendy's Frosty? Mm-hmm. That afternoon, they had to call the police department and have a policeman to direct traffic on Indianapolis Boulevard out there across from the shopping center? Woodmar Shopping Center. I got 40 Wendy's Frosties that night. I stayed up to 2 o'clock in the morning drinking all those things. What was it? Because there are people that listen carefully to every. I've got to be careful. I've got to be careful not to mention I like Cadillac cars. I've got to be careful about that. I mean, I've got to watch it all the time. Don't you get me a Cadillac. I won't drive it. A Rolls Royce, maybe. But anyway, I've got to watch it. And don't misunderstand me. I've got a lot of folks that work with me, and I hesitate to use the word work for me, that anything I tell them to do, they'll do it. But there are a lot of people I've got to be careful, because they listen to every slight need that I may have. By the way, that's what makes great marriages. When a husband says, not only will I do what my wife orders me to do, and you should. God's Word says it. But I'll watch very carefully for the slightest little thing that she may want. Like if she wants a new rod and reel. Or a new pickup truck. You just never know. You got to watch all the time for stuff like that, folks. maybe a new 22 rifle. Or a Magnum pistol or something. You got to watch it, fellas. But now, that's what makes a good marriage. What makes a good marriage is that the wife not only says, I will obey my husband, but I will do more than obey my husband. I will watch carefully for what little need he might have. I want to not only do what he tells me to do, but I want to grant his slightest wish. Now, this morning, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about these three men who were the mightiest. Now, here are 1,600,000 soldiers, and all of them loyal, faithful men. 37 picked out as being mighty men. A little handful picked out as being mightier men, because one could slay 800 and one could kill 300, and one would hold the sword till his hand clave to the sword, and one killed a lion in the snow, and one killed two lion-like men, and one got found an Egyptian that had a spear. All he had was a walking stick or a shepherd's staff. He took the spear away from that man and killed the Egyptian. What men? But these three mightiest men, they obeyed all the commands. But they went beyond that. They watched King David carefully. And oh, listen to everything you might say. You know what I'd like to have? Someday before I die, I'd like to have a drink of water over here on this side. I'd like to have a drink of water. That old well down there. I remember when I was a kid, I used to play down there. I'd stop at that well and get a drink of water. Someday, it's a silly thing, but someday I'd like to have a drink of water from that old well. And these three men were called the mightiest. Not because they killed 800, not because they killed 300, not because they killed the lion, but because they said, we're going to go beyond the old commands of our king. We're going to give every wish that our king may have. And I come to you this morning. Listen to me back here. Listen, hey, fellas. Listen to me. I'm preaching to you. I come this morning on behalf of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I come on behalf of our commanding general. I come on behalf of that omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent King that you mentioned a while ago. I come on behalf of Jesus Christ, my Savior. I come on behalf of Him who died for me on the cross. And I say, ladies and gentlemen, I do not want to just obey His commands. I want to watch my King all the time and check in my King's book of instructions all the time. Not only to do what He tells me to do, but check and see what He wants me to do. Every little whim, every little desire. For example, mighty men obey commandments. The mighty men in this room obey the Ten Commandments. The mightiest in this room go far beyond the Ten Commandments. The mighty men in this room tithe. Three groups of people in this room. Those that disobey the command of God to tithe. Those who are robbers, thieves, dishonest, crooks. You say what? I'll say it again if you didn't hear it well. Robbers, thieves, dishonest, crooks. Those who drink God's water, enjoy God's sunshine, breathe God's air, live on God's earth, and not pay your rent. There's that first disobedient crowd. Then there's that obedient crowd pays their tithes. But then the mightiest, what do the mightiest do? The mightiest give offerings. As Malachi 3:10 says, wherein have you robbed me? You've robbed me in tithes and offerings. I'm asking a question this morning. Are you always looking for somebody that has a need? Are you always looking for that little desire that Jesus had. You say, well, how can I know what little desire? I'll tell you how. He said, as much as you've done to one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. When you fed those sailors last week, that's being, and the mightiest. Those of you that tithe, and yet you gave some money to buy turkeys for the sailors, that's the mightiest. Those of you that worked on bus routes yesterday in the cold, windy weather, that's the mightiest. Those of you that went soul winning made one or two visits this week, that's mighty. Those of you that went beyond that, Jesus commands us to go soul winning, but some went out yonder and worked hour after hour on the buses yesterday. That's being a part of the mightiest. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be just average, and I don't understand you folks that do. When I joined the army, I didn't want to be just a soldier. I joined the paratroopers. You say, why? Because I don't like to be normal. That doesn't sound right. The commandment says, thou shalt not murder. But the mightiest one looks and says, God also says, go beyond that. I command you not to murder. I wish you wouldn't even have hatred in your heart. There are folks this morning here who wouldn't kill anybody, but you'll hate somebody. Now, you're in the army of the Lord, and you won't get a dishonorable discharge, but you're not one of the mightiest men, I'll tell you for sure. Why? You're not going beyond the commandments. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not going to save this world till we get as concerned about the gospel of Jesus Christ as Farrakhan is about his dumb rally up in Washington, D.C. If we don't get as concerned as Jesse Jackson is, we're never going to win this world. And funny thing about it, he can holler and scream and talk about socialism, and then they talk about murdering the babies and all of that stuff, and then get excited, and Farrakhan can say what he wants to say, let an old-fashioned hell-raising barnstorming, window rattling, shingle-pulling fundamental preacher get up and gets excited about that book right there, and folks say he's a fanatic. Well, count me in. I don't want to be normal. I want to be more than just a soldier. I want to be one of those that watches my Savior. You know what I like to watch? I like to watch sometimes a baseball game. If Chicago ever has a team, I like to go watch them play. But I like to watch. Here's the manager sitting in the dugout. His microphone starts to fall over. Here's the manager in the dugout. Somewhere in there is a signal. And the third base coach down here is watching that manager. Every little signal. And then the batter up here steps out of the batter's box. And he watches the third base coach. The third base coach is making all kinds of... straightens his tie and so forth. Little signals like that. And that batter is watching for that signal. And that third base coach is watching for that signal. Brother, I won't look at Jesus like that. I won't look at His Word. Not only what does He command me to do, this world's going to hell because we've got a bunch of Christians walking just inside the line. I want to watch for every little desire, every little sign. The mighty men, David, God says, thou shalt not commit adultery. The mightiest men, God said, I command you not to commit adultery. I wish you wouldn't even lust. I command you not to steal. I wish you wouldn't even covet. I command you to let somebody hit you on the right cheek. I wish you'd let them hit you on the other cheek too and turn the other cheek. I command you to go the first mile. I would prefer you to go the second mile. I command you, if they take away your coat, let them do it. But give them your cloak also. I command you, says God, to love your neighbor. But I also want you to love your enemy. I command you, says God, don't return evil for evil, but I'd prefer you to return good for evil. Now, folks, listen to me. The honest truth is that American Christendom, American Christianity is doing good just to obey the commandments. But I believe there's some folks here this morning that are not just satisfied with being in the Army. I believe there's some folks here. When I joined the paratroopers, 1,100 men started our training, physical training. 309 of us finished. I said, I'm going to finish. I'm going to wear those wings. I'm not going to be just a soldier. And in the army of the Lord, I'm not going to just be a sinner and a pew filler and just not murder, not steal, not commit adultery, not cheat, not lie. Brother, I want to watch my Savior, and every little wish that he has, I want to give it to him. Listen to this verse. So Luke 17:10. So likewise, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. My Bible said if you obey every commandment of God and do every duty that you have, you're still an unprofitable servant. What does it mean? It means you're not making a profit for God. He's breaking even on you. I call these break-even Christians. To most of the people in this room this morning, God's just breaking even on you. He's not losing because you obey Him. But He's not making a profit on you because you're not going beyond as God says you're supposed to do. God commands church attendance. Now listen carefully. God commands church attendance. God does not say, come Sunday night and Wednesday night. But if you love Him enough, you want to come Sunday night and Wednesday night. He commands you to come. And love says, if you're one of the mightiest men, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, I'll be in the house of God. And if you're not, you're not showing you love Him. I'd hate to be watching a TV on a Sunday night. I'd hate to be out playing a game somewhere at some party on a Wednesday night. Bless God, when the hinges squeak, I walked in those doors all these years. God commands you to read the Bible. Jesus wants you to keep on reading it a little more and delight in it. God commands you to pray without ceasing. Jesus wants you to enjoy while you're praying. God commands us to go soul winning. And some of the people here, some of the folks that work for us, they turn reporting at schools. Some faculty member, visits made this week, one. You obeyed the rule. Rule says you got to go soul winning. So you made one. Aren't you proud of yourself? But don't you think Jesus wants you to make more than one? I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, where America is going to hell because Christians don't get as excited as about this book as basketball fans do about Chicago Bulls. And we're not going to get this country saved because the Bulls are 10-1. And Michael Jordan is not the answer for this country any more than Michael Jackson's the answer to this country. The answer to this country is when God's people decide not only to be in the army of the Lord, but to be the mightiest ones, not only obeying His commands, but watching carefully. What can I do next? What does He wish that I do? What are His desires? What are His wishes? What are His preferences? I want to go beyond just the commandments. You expect me, as your pastor, to work 40 hours a week. So I work 40 more, at least. Country's full of preachers that work 40 hours a week. They're just holding down the fort. But nobody's going to build a church 40 hours a week. Nobody's going to be a success in any venture 40 hours a week. Common soldier says, what's wrong with? The mightiest men say, what's right with? The common soldier says, keep the rules. The mightiest men says, keep the spirit of the rules. As a salesman, JCPenney company, I work 5 hours a day. I said, I'll sell more than anybody in the store sells. Well, you sit with the house. Everybody can't win, I know, but one can, and I'm just one. I recall one day he was a kid. One day he was watching a tennis match. The guy that lost jumped over the net, put his arm, one arm around the guy, one, shook his hand. They walked off arm in arm. David said, Dad, I couldn't do that. I said, don't want you to. He said, what should I do if I ever lose? I said, in the first place you lose, you're not my boy. But if you ever do get sick and lose, jump across the net, take your racket, and clobber him with it. I'm sick and tired of you mothers saying, Sonny boy, you be a good loser. Would you shut your puss? America's taught, be good losers. No, sir, bless God, be winners. I can see those other men saying, look at those fools. Who they think David is, God? David, who you think you are, God? We don't pray toward you every day. The common man can't understand the friend. The common man can't understand the kind of person that grants the very wish of the object of those he loves. Can't understand that. America is built on critique, 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 critique. And America needs to be built on the guy that says, I'm his follower, I'm his friend, I'll not only do what he says to do, but I'll watch carefully and find out what he wishes to do, and I'll not just do what my Savior says in this book, I'll go beyond the book and do what he would wish me to do. As you know, my dad was an alcoholic. My dad never one time in all the years of his life ever told me he was proud of me. When I made the honor roll in school, kindergarten, I made the honor roll in school, Dad never said, I'm proud of you. All of the times that I was a part of sports athletic championships, my daddy never said, I'm proud of you. When I graduated from high school, my dad didn't come to the exercises. When I got my degree from college, my dad wasn't there. When I got married, my dad wasn't there. He never said, I'm proud of you. When I got out of the Army, I decided to join my dad in laying oak floor. Dad was an oak floor layer. And I said, Dad, you got enough work for me? He said, sure, if you want to do it. He said, it's awful hard. Didn't have those automatic oak floor layers in those days. You laid it with you with a hammer and nails, like that. First day I did it, it was 109 degrees. I don't mean discomfort index. I mean temperature on the thermometer. 109 degrees. I had 40 blisters on that one hand, that hammer. I sat there and I was crying. My dad walked up and said, son, I think this is too tough a job for you. And I said, I'll show you. I said, you'll live to see the day when I'll lay more oak floor than you will. And my dad grinned and walked away. I decided to lay more. And I got to where I could lay more oak floor than my dad could. And I got to where I laid more oak floor than any oak floor layer in all of Dallas County could. One day I was in a house being built and I was laying floor. My dad never told me he was proud of me, but I overheard him talking to another oak floor layer. Other fellow said, who's that young man in there laying oak floor? Oh, I wish somebody would ask that again. Who's that young man in there laying oak floor? And my daddy said, that's my son. And the man said, that boy can really put down the floor. And my dad said, yeah, he's the best oak floor layer in the county. And I'm proud of him. After it was over, I walked in and said, Dad, who's that in here? He told me. I said, what are y'all talking about? He said, nothing. Nothing. But I heard my dad say he's proud of me. Because I decided I was going to not only do what I was supposed to do, but do more than I was supposed to do. I'm not just going to be loyal. I'm going to be super loyal. I'm not just going to be a worker, I'm going to be a super worker. I'm not just going to be faithful, I'm going to be super faithful. Dr. Geragos is operating heart surgery. He's sitting up there this morning. He's operating. He's got this guy's gizzard all open. He's got his saw and chisel and hammer there where he's cut him all apart. He looks at his watch, says, "Oh, my soul, it's 5 o'clock. I'll get it." Well, that's it. Well, Dr. Geragos, that guy not even sewed back up yet. His heart's laying out there on the table. It's 5 o'clock. It's 5 o'clock. We got a bunch of folks around here work that way. We got a bunch of folks around here that the light's on their office sometimes at 10 o'clock at night, too. Several reasons. One reason is they love me. Another reason is they love Jesus. And they're not satisfied with just being one of the 1,600,000 soldiers. Or just one of the 37 mighty men. They want to be one of the three mightiest men. And who are the three mightiest men? Want to kill them all? No. The one that obey all the commandments and then look for the wishes and the desires. And that's what I want to do for my Savior. I haven't got any right to be pastor of the largest church in America. I haven't got any right to do that. Somebody smart ought to be that. Somebody smart like... I can't think of anybody right now. But some smart guy. I decided years ago I could not preach like R.G. Lee. I could not teach like John Rice. I could not lead like Lee Robertson. But I want to be the best of something. So I decided I'd outwork them all. And I have. I have. That little extra thing. I love to look in my office at a little couple of pictures I have in a frame Brother Ray Young gave to me. Has this very scripture here about these men that got the drink of water for King David. Has a picture of the Grange Hall Baptist Church building as it sat down there in Texas. And a picture of it as they reconstructed it here. Do you know why hundreds of men worked day and night to dismantle that building in Texas and reassemble it up here? Because they love me. I didn't command anybody. I didn't say to Brother Young and Brother Moore and all the rest of this. I didn't say, "Thou shalt bring that building up here." I didn't even think it'd ever be up here. One day they overheard me saying, "I'd like to have that building." And do you know they organized all of the churches from Dallas to Shreveport and brought men over there and dismantled that building and loaded that building on and brought it up here, and hundreds of you guys here went out there and put that church up. And you know why you did it? Because somebody wanted to please. Not only obey the preacher, but somebody wanted to grant his wishes. Now, I'm not asking you to do that for me. I'm not asking you this morning to be careful and say, listen carefully what I want, but I'm asking you this morning to be careful what the King of Kings wants. What he commands, sure, but go beyond that. He says go to church, go 3 times a week. He says tithe, give your offerings. He said don't murder, don't hate. He said don't commit adultery, then don't lust. He said don't steal, then don't covet. The extra. And that's what made these men the mightiest men. I want to be the mightiest. Because I not only want to do what my King commands me to do, but I want to do what I think He might desire me to do. And I'll go a step further and I'll close. I'm that way with anybody that I love. Anybody that I love. I want not only to do what I should do for them, but I want to be careful to watch for what they might need.
I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to. It'll give you, give my critics a chance to give you some fodder. I like to keep you busy. At the Revival Fires Conference, one of the speakers was a fellow named Sharp. Sharp or Shaw? Sharp. I didn't know who Brother Sharp was. I asked Brother Carl, who is this fellow Sharp? I'd met him, but I'd forgotten his name. Well, he said he married one of your former teachers here. And I shouldn't say this, but it illustrates what I'm saying. Her name was Betty Joyce Johnson. Mary Joyce Johnson. Mary Joyce Johnson. She taught at our high school. In fact, I think when we started the school, she's one of the first teachers. I had an appointment with her one night. And her teeth protruded like that. I could tell she'd be a beautiful lady if her teeth were fixed. And one night I said to her, I was counseling with her, go get your teeth fixed and send me the bill. Go get your teeth fixed and send me the bill. I was out at the board meeting for the Revival Fires, and she was there with her husband. And I saw her. It's been 20 years ago. She smiled at me through some beautiful teeth. Every once in a while I go to Clinton, Maryland. I see a lady there who came to our church years ago. She wasn't married. She wasn't married because she had the worst case of acne you've ever seen in your life. You've never seen anything like it. I have never seen a case like that in my life. I take it back. One preacher I met one time that had a case like that, and Brother Moffitt's the only other one. I don't mean hers was, she used to have it. She still had it. She was a grown lady, about 25 years old. There used to be a Dr. Nearman over here in Calumet City who was an excellent skin doctor. And I said to this little lady, I called Dr. Nearman. I said, charge the bill to me, please. I guess I spent a couple of $1,000 on that little lady. But her face got as clear as could be. And she found a guy that married her. I'd like to go out in Maryland and see them now with their children happy. It's a wonderful life, folks. I don't do it like I should. I'm just telling you that twice in my own life, whole life I've done something like this. But it's a wonderful thing to live, not only trying to give people what they deserve, but to watch very carefully for what they might need or what they might want. Try it. You might like it. And by all means, try it with the Savior. Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look carefully at what you think He'd like for you to do. And be one of the mightiest men. Bow your heads for prayer, would you please?